big game obviously took a little bit longer because, like, all right.
That took some research.
What do I want to talk about?
Sammy Jackson didn't help by starring in a movie called Big Game.
I know. That comes out, like, pretty soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I should have watched the trailer for it because, of course, that came up. But I didn't.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. For 100,000 people, Monday may never come. I'm Dave, joined by the Monday to my Tuesday, Ryan. I don't know what that means.
I'm not even going to say that because it's going to sound very gross, and that's not what I mean. So, yep, I hate Mondays.
Anything that involves cum is going to sound grosser than it is intended.
Yep.
But anyways, we are Ryan and Dave. Our tagline, for 100,000 people, Monday may never come. That is a tagline to a movie. If you know what movie it's from, email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Hit us up, facebook.com/moviesonup, or on the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are correct and we pick you, you win the glorious Movies on Up prize package. And you won't be the only winners this week, as it's Super Bowl time. I think Super Bowl Sunday is this week.
The big game. So we don't get sued by the NFL.
Yeah, the big game. It's not the Super Bowl. It's
nope, I don't even know what that is.
Yep. So we thought, hey, let's do our favorite big game movies, which can mean anything you want it to be. Basically, any movie that leads up to a competition of some sort is kind of how I went with it.
You can always tell when I come up with the list ideas because, by and large, there are no rules. It's very nebulous, and it's just an excuse for me to do whatever the hell I want and basically probably talk about 5-ish movies that we might not have talked about on the podcast before.
Yeah, I don't know that I've mentioned any of mine yet on the podcast because I do have 5. I'm glad you have five. That's as false as a statement can ever be. We have talked about at least one of these. So these are our favorite movies that we call them favorite big game movies, favorite movies that lead to a competition, I guess. I guess we'll get
there. You'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah, because I think hopefully we'll figure it out as we go. But Ryan, your number 5 big game movie.
My number 5 comes from 1995, and it is, in fact, a big game. Directed by Joe Johnston, starring Robin Williams, Kirsten Dunst, and Bonnie Hunt, is Jumanji. Maybe a little bit obvious here, a movie about a board game. But I remember seeing this, I think it was in the theater, and I wasn't really sure if I should be terrified that these people were going to die, or if I should just be having a good time watching Robin Williams desperately try and finish this board game that he spent nearly a quarter of a century trapped in. I think on a side note, it was a really great bit of marketing for the game of Jumanji, which I think came out a couple years before it. I don't think it had been around that long. But if you look at some of the recent Hasbro stuff like Battleship, and for a while, up until Battleship bombed as bad as it did, they were going to try and make a Sorry movie. And
Monopoly, Life.
I can't imagine those really going that well and selling more copies of Monopoly. But I damn well know that after I saw Jumanji, yeah, you bet your ass I wanted a Jumanji game. Now, I realize that it probably wasn't going to come with multiple rhinoceroses coming out of the game to try and trample me. But it still looked like a cool game, and I wanted to buy it. So kudos to you, Joe Johnston, for making a movie that made me want to go buy a product that already existed.
It was actually based on a book from 1981. I was looking real
quick. No, books don't count.
I was looking to see real quick if I could see the exact release date of the board game.
Look at you researching.
Yeah.
Damn.
I got to do something while you're talking because I sure ain't listening.
Fair enough.
My number 5, we're in the sporting world. All mine are kind of in the, My number 5 is in the sporting world, and it involves a championship, and it's not just about winning a championship. It's you have to win the championship or your former owner's now money-grubbing wife takes over your franchise. In 1998's Basketball, starring Matt Stone and Trey Parker, Jenny McCarthy, Jumanji Nelson or whatever that, Jasmine Bleeth or whatever.
Jumanji Nelson.
Yeah, chick from Baywatch.
Jasmine Bleeth.
Yes, yeah, her. I love this movie. It hit at the perfect time, and they claim that they were attached to star in it before South Park blew up, which I kind of, I believe, because South Park started to blow up around the same time. But I love this movie. It is packed with fantastic jokes. The story is enough to keep it going. The game actually seems fun.
Did you not, like, after seeing that, did you not try and figure out a way to play basketball?
Yeah.
Everyone did.
It seemed just like a fun game, and their chemistry was just so good, obviously. I mean, this was after Cannibal, and after these guys had worked together for forever, so it came across well. And just one of my favorite on-screen kisses ever. It's one of the funniest moments in that whole movie. I love this movie, and it holds up. Like, it's one of those that, all right, I saw it when I was like 18 years old or so. Like, it wouldn't shock me if I watch it now and it's just stupid and I don't find it funny at all. I watch it now and it's still hilarious. The sports parts of it are pretty dated, but it's a fun movie. Like, it's a lot of fun, and I still find it hilarious.
I do like this a lot. It was one of those, in 98, I do think that we got into the South Park and kind of went back and saw some of the other things. Like, oh, shit, like, South Park was not the first thing these guys did, so you wanted to go back, and Cannibal was around. Orgasmo, I think, came out the year before. So I was kind of voraciously going through the Stone and Parker things, and basketball did kind of appeal to me because I do like sports movies. And one of the things that perhaps I love the most about this movie is when you were describing it as a franchise has to win this game or they're money grubbing. Like, that's absolutely the plot of Major League. And that's one of my all-time favorite movies. And it could obviously fit on this list too. Spoiler alert, it's not on mine just because I feel like I've talked about that once or twice. But you know, those parallels were definitely not lost on me. And I love a lot of the cameos that were in basketball. I think Rich Eisen was in it. I think he was calling like the final match or whatever. But
Al Michaels is in the whole – he's the main announcer, I think.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And just the team names
– Costas.
Were great. Yeah. And I still love like the taunts.
Steve Perry.
Dropping his pants, Australian for vagina or whatever. But yeah, basketball, a great flick. My number four really has nothing to do with sports at all. But it does have game in the title, so I feel like that's probably good enough. It's from 2013. It's Gavin Hood's Ender's Game, starring Asia Butterfield, Harrison Ford, and Hailee Steinfeld. Basically, what you have is some of the smartest little kids on Earth get flown up to space, to a space station, to essentially play a game that should train them to fend off this impending alien invasion. It also, in fairness, it might be the only time on this podcast that I can really ever bring up this movie because I didn't love it. Breaking with a little bit of, I don't know, going on 4 years of tradition, this is one of the very few times I actually read the book before I saw the movie. I actually knew that there was a book before the movie. And I absolutely love the Orson Scott Card novel. It's one of my favorites. I've actually, brace yourselves, read a couple in that series. Not just one, but a couple. Somehow, I kind of feel like the screenplay falls a bit flat. And maybe that's just because I love the source material so much. But I think that there's some decent performances from Butterfield with what he had. Harrison Ford was okay as just a gruff dude, which he seems to have morphed into over the years. And Moises Arias was the kid from The Kings of Summer that I thought absolutely stole that movie. Very different role for him here. He's really kind of a dick, but he carries that off pretty well too. The visuals in the movie were really pretty good. There's some sequences where they're in like this zero-G battle simulator that as I was sitting there watching it, I was kind of getting a little bit motion sick. So I feel like they were doing something right then if I was just watching a movie and was about ready to throw up. The entire premise behind this movie is that these kids are playing a game, or is it? Dun, dun, dun. It's not. Spoiler alert.
My number, four is, you know, the typical sports movie. You have your professional guy who has a good career. Something tragic happens, and, you know, he's off track. He loses that career. Then he finds a prodigy to train up and train for the title. And then that guy can't do it. So the washed up guy has to do it. Typical sports movie. And that's what you could consider 1996's Kingpin is a typical sports movie. Just made by the Farley Brothers, starring Randy Quaid, Woody Harrelson, Vanessa Angel, and one of my favorite Bill Murray roles ever.
I want to say it's my favorite, but I mean, I love Venkman, but Bigger and McCracken is going to have a special place in my heart.
He's just so funny, his hair at the end. And I mean, that's what the big game in this is, the big championship. And I like this because, spoiler alert, Woody Harrelson doesn't win, but it's got your cliche sports moments, like, oh, he's got to pick up this 7-10 split to kind of seal it, and he does, and then McCracken just bowls a turkey and wins. It's such a funny movie, though. It's more a fish-out-of-water movie because it's more about Woody Harrelson taking Randy Quaid's Amish character into the world. And one of my favorite jokes is, you know, he's talking to Randy Quaid, who's sitting there taking a dump, and Randy Quaid says, you know what, I think I can figure things out pretty good for myself. And you pan out and you realize he's taking a dump on a urinal. Like, it's just such a good, for some reason that joke will always make me laugh. Everything about Bill Murray in this movie. And, I mean, Woody Harrelson does great too, but Bill Murray is worth watching this movie alone for, because he's just so funny.
And from what I understand, like, most of the things he did in that movie was just him just fucking around, basically. Like, he dressed himself. Like, he just went out, went off the reservation, showed up dressed like Ern McCracken, and they're like, yeah, all right, that's fine.
Most of his lines don't make any sense, like his trash talking. I imagine that's just Bill Murray just ad-libbing, and it works. And it's just a funny, funny movie, and that's my big game for this one.
It may not be quite my favorite Bill Murray movie or performance, but it's my favorite Farrelly Brothers movie far and away.
Oh, by far for me, yeah.
And I mean, I'll still use Munson as an adjective or an adverb or some kind of part of speech. And it kind of breaks my heart a little bit that more people don't kind of pick up on that, because you get a lot of blank stares when I said, you just pulled a Munson, and people just kind of, who's Munson? Never mind. My number three movie about a big game is a movie about a giant game. It's called The Game, from 1997, directed by David Fincher, starring Michael Douglas, Deborah Kerr Unger, and Sean Penn. Again, this one, I feel like it's a little bit on the nose. It's big game movies, and this is The Game. The whole movie, like I said, is about an elaborate game, which I'm sure most of you probably know at this point. Sean Penn purchases for his brother, Michael Douglas, for his 48th birthday. We spend pretty much the next 2 hours getting to the bottom of the game, going in and out, until you get to the end, which is pretty much exactly where you started. I would have to say, though, some of the parts of the game, if there were to be a real entity that would plan these elaborate, people just have way too much time on their hands to plan and carry off these elaborate schemes. Some of the things that they kind of do to Michael Douglas's character are kind of in poor taste. I mean, his dad kills himself on his 48th birthday by jumping off of a roof, which essentially is what happens to Michael Douglas at the end of this movie. And then everybody's like, gotcha. So again, I think that's kind of, maybe if those were real people, I'd probably punch a couple of them. But I remember seeing this movie like in my early teens, and it was probably the first official experience I had with Fincher. I think he took his name off Alien 3, so really can't count that. But I was absolutely like blown away with the complexity of this movie. Like, oh my God, what is a game and what is real? I still think it's kind of a fun movie to watch. It's really hard to kind of swallow all of this as like something that you would buy and something you'd believe was going on the whole time. Maybe it's just because I'm a bit cynical now, but it feels to me like the studio version of a David Fincher movie. Like, it's still, you know, consumable for the masses, but it still has kind of the twists and turns that he likes to put in movies. But I guess more just like, hey, no harm done, we're all buddies.
Yeah, that ending still makes me mad, because I would want to murder I would want to murder everybody.
Oh yeah, and you think like he does, like he shoots Sean Penn and you're like, oh my God, this is great. Like it's like, it feels like a Twilight Zone ending. And then there's like, oh, no, yep, that was a fake gun. We fooled you. That's bullshit.
Yeah. My number three is going back to the sporting world. Another similar story where somebody's a young prodigy and then something happens, like they may almost drown. So they give up their love of the of competitively doing it, but their friends urge him to get back into competition. That's exactly what Kate Bosworth's friends did in 2002's Blue Crush. Kate Bosworth, I think it was Michelle Rodriguez, Matthew Davis. She's working as a maid, living with her friends. They're all surfers. She's the one that's got the talent. Big surf competition coming up. Everybody wants her to do it, but then she meets the Matthew Davis's NFL quarterback who's in town for the Pro Bowl and kind of doesn't put the effort into training. I like this movie. I like Kate Bosworth. I really, really enjoy Kate Bosworth, especially younger Kate Bosworth. Like, it's something about this movie. It has like a Bend It Like Beckham feel to it. Like, there's no reason I should like the movie Bend It Like Beckham, but I love the movie Bend It Like Beckham. This is pretty much around the same time. And it's another one where, yeah, she doesn't win in the big competition, but
spoiler alert,
life still turns out all right.
Yeah, at the end of the day, she's still Kate Bosworth, so scoreboard, I guess. My number two is starring someone that's not quite as attractive as Kate Bosworth, but this is probably about the first time that I actually kind of go towards, and the first and only time I actually go towards a big game in terms of an actual sporting competition. Most good movies have more than one storyline. One of the storylines does involve, I believe it is a week 17 matchup for the NFC East Championship, and it's Robert D. Siegel's Big Fan, starring Patton Oswalt, Kevin Corrigan, and Michael Rapaport. This is a dark, dark flick, but one that I absolutely love. Siegel's the guy that wrote the screenplay to The Wrestler, which is not exactly a ray of sunshine in and of itself. But as I mentioned, the big game here is a matchup between the Giants, who Patton Oswalt is kind of the self-professed biggest fan of, and the Eagles. You have Oswalt playing this parking lot attendant who really, outside of the Giants, has nothing going in his life. He's kind of your stereotypical sports talk radio kind of loser. He goes so far as to like script out all of his phone calls, and he reads them verbatim, like he's just kind of coming up off the top of his head with it. And I think it's kind of a great look at the really sad side of maybe talk radio or sports talk radio in general. And I think Oswalt does such a good job of playing this. You can tell throughout the entire movie that he's obsessed is probably an understatement. And the decisions that he makes, how basically the Giants rule his life, and then when he meets his favorite player and gets his ass kicked by said player, he really doesn't know what to do with himself, because now all of a sudden he's sort of at odds with the one thing in his life that he really cares about. And then you add in what I think, and obviously it's kind of the main gist of the movie, is the rivalry he has with Philadelphia Phil, which is Michael Rapaport's character, who calls the same sports talk radio show. And without ever meeting, for the most part, they kind of just go back and forth at each other. And you just really watch this character's life go into the shit can. And at every turn, he somehow seems to make things worse for himself. And things just kind of build and build. And you want to, pull the guy aside and say, listen, man, it really is just a game. There's always next year. But he really just can't let go. And really, up until the end of the movie, you have no idea where it's going to go, how it's going to turn out. Some movies you can kind of tell, like, oh, all right, well, this is going to end up okay, or, oh, shit, no, it's not. This one, they do a great job. You really don't know until the very end what's going to happen. And I didn't have the highest expectations for it when I sat down to watch it, but damn, I love this movie.
It's a good movie, and I like Patton Oswalt a lot. Like, I'll watch him do anything, and obviously he's a great comedian, but dude's got some chops. This and Young Adult got him a lot of attention as a serious actor. My number two, it's about serious competition, and this is kind of a team that goes from regionals, and you got to get your way up to that championship, and sometimes you got to mix it up, and sometimes it takes young blood in there to mix up what it's been. And that's exactly what happens in 2012's Pitch Perfect. I absolutely love the climax scene in this, the competition scene.
Oh, wait, you're talking about something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a dozen of the kind you're thinking of. But the final performance, like both the Barton Bellas and the Treble Makers performances, I love. And as far as big time stage, like competition movies, this movie's my second favorite scene of like that ever, as far as performances go. My number one, we may get to, it may be that movie. Spoiler alert, it is. But they're my two favorite like competition scenes in movies. I could say a lot more about Pitch Perfect, but maybe we'll get to that another time in a couple of weeks. But
yeah, I feel like there will be more said about this movie. Not that there hasn't been enough said about it already. But
yeah, but my number two is Pitch Perfect.
My number one, basically I lasted about one shot for sports movies.
You know what? First off, here's the thing. Based on how you're going it, if your number one isn't what I expect it to be, I'm having two number ones, one for my list and one for your list.
Well, I feel like it's probably not going to be what you expect, just because this list, being purposely non-specific with the rules, you can go so many places. So if I say this is my favorite big game movie, it's probably BS, because it's really not. It's my favorite of the five that I have on here. But if we do this, spoiler alert, if we don't have any ideas for the end of January or February next year, if we do this again, yeah, I can come up with another five movies that I like.
But based on your other list up until your last one, this movie better be number one. If not, I have two number ones.
It's not, and that's fine, because now at this point, like, I'm interested to hear what you think should be my number one. I have a couple also-rans that I like a lot, but I don't like them as much as a movie from 2013. My number one is Zero. Zero Charisma, directed by Katie Graham and Andrew Matthews, starring Sam Edison and Brock Englund. This one is about a real big game to our main character, Scott. He is the game master in this Dungeons & Dragons type game. Much like Patton Oswalt's character, the rest of his life outside of this game is pretty much a joke, and you can argue that his life inside the game is pretty much a joke as well. But it is, in fact, the most important thing that he's got going. And he kind of controls the game like he's some sort of dictator, like a real iron-fisted jerkwad. And shit kind of goes downhill when the group accepts this new hipster kid as a member. And maybe it's an aside, but I think shit always goes downhill when you bring a hipster into the fold. So just maybe, like, the more you know, let that be a lesson to you. Stay away from hipsters. You can see Scott crumble just like Oswalt's character when his fantasy life kind of crosses over into his real life, and whatever quote-unquote friends he thinks he has from this game start to kind of leave him behind and hang out with the hipster and sort of maybe evolve into having some sort of social interaction outside of the game. It's a character that, the guy's a real dick, and he's pretty consistently a dick throughout the whole movie. But for whatever reason, you know, there's still, or at least I still kind of felt bad for him. And it's a character that you want to see some growth from. And he has a couple chances in the movie where he's like, all right, I realize that things are a little bit out of hand right now, so I'm going to take a step back and, you know, be somewhat responsible and either get a job or, you know, kind of let other people, you know, maybe take charge and be a little bit less strict in terms of the game. But he doesn't seem to really demonstrate the capacity to make that change. So on the one hand, it's kind of frustrating to watch this character kind of have several little I want to call them mini arcs, because they go someplace and then dramatically just end right back where they started until the end, when he actually does, he's kind of forced to make some changes. But I never really got into tabletop RPGing or whatevering, but I do kind of love this look at it, because I don't think that it really is taking pot shots at people that like that. Really, it's taking to task a certain kind of person that I think no one would want hanging around with him. Basically, a guy that's just ruining what should be kind of a fun thing, and it just makes him look like a big asshole.
My number one for your list,
okay,
based on Ender's Game and Jumanji and everything, number one on your list should be 1984's The Last Starfighter, directed by Nick Castle, starring Lance Gass, Robert Preston.
It's not, because you like this movie. I think it's
movie.
Fine, but
I
you
love
like
this
it.
Movie. I love it.
So it should
it.
Be number one on your list.
It's at number one on my list with your rules.
Fair enough.
So my number one on Ryan's list is...
No,
is,
your list with my rules, because I don't want The Last Starfighter on my list. I'm sorry.
The Last Starfighter. But my real number one is about something that's very near and dear to my heart that I love. You know, I love basketball. I love football. But right behind all those is hip-hop dancing. So 2007's Stomp the Yard is my number one. Like, as much as I love the final competition scene in Pitch Perfect, I will watch Stomp the Yard over that every day.
Wait.
Yes. Yes.
I need you to say that slowly into the microphone again.
I wish you could cut out the Troublemakers part and just put the Stomp the Yard finale and then have Anna Kendrick sing to me and make the perfect movie.
I don't think she's singing to you now because you just said you'd rather watch Stomp the Yard.
The climax scene, yeah. The competition scene. I love it. I love this movie. This movie's legit really good. Columbus Short's the star. Chris Brown is only in it for a little bit. Spoiler, he dies pretty early after an intense dance battle.
Isn't that the way of things?
And it's such a good movie, but I can't say that sentence without laughing. But yeah, his brother dies, so he gets, in a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fashion, he gets sent out to live with his aunt and uncle in Georgia and attend Truth University, where he gets embroiled in the world of fraternity stomp dancing. So, I mean, I love this movie. I love dance movies. Step Up's good. Step Up to the Streets has a pretty good competition scene at the end, but it's nowhere near Stomp the Yard. You Got Served's a really good one, but Stomp the Yard takes the cake on all of them. Columbus Short, Megan Good, Neo, like, their characters are all great. It's an A to B story where, you know, he likes the girl. Her boyfriend is in a competing stomp crew. You know, the typical...
Who hasn't heard that one a million times?
So, but I love Stomp the Yard. The dancing at the end is superb, and it's one of those great, great final scenes. What were your also, Rand?
To go along with basketball, one of the movies that I have a bit of a... Maybe it's a guilty pleasure, although I maintain that it's pretty good. Dodgeball, I did love that movie an awful lot. One of the handful of times that I can honestly say that I enjoyed Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, like those guys together, I thought were really good. The cameos. Now, like the Lance Armstrong cameo is a little bit strange, but at the time I thought it was great. Chuck Norris, fucking Chuck Norris, that's still great. I think Justin Long was pretty good in that.
Alan Tudyk
was
my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good cast. I thought the movie was really funny. And then when I first thought of like the climactic big game, the one that jumped to my mind first was the Fred Savage joint, The Wizard, where like the climax of that movie was Super Mario 3, and it was like before Mario 3 was out, so like everybody literally shit their pants because they got to see, like, there was no internet, so you couldn't go see a trailer for a video game. It was like, oh my god, Mario, he's got a raccoon suit, and they had the power glove. I mean, that was, you know, at the time, that was pretty sweet.
My also-rans were all big game movies. Space Jam, A League of Their Own, which we've talked about before. Bring It On, which was hard to leave off, but It, Pitch Perfect, and Stomp the Yard are all the same movie, just different variations. And I mentioned, or I'm going to mention, another movie similar to it in a either past or near future episode. And then Warrior. Warrior had a good climactic battle scene. Championship scene. So
yeah, this is one of those ones that I feel like sometimes, like, if we do an actor specific list, we might have mentioned your favorites, but I gotta believe that something as open-ended as this, there's so many that we, I don't want to say that we missed, but, you know, we only put five movies on, and it may not have occurred to us that, oh yeah, that movie is about a big game. Or you may find a creative way to bend the rules like I do. And again, it may not have occurred to us. So, you know, we say it every week, and we mean it every week, but we double mean it this week. If we left off your favorite big game movie, we would love to hear about it. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet them at us at moviesonup on the Twitter, or blow up our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup.
Yep. So we'll be back next week. We hope your team won the Super Bowl, because neither of ours did.
That's a fact.
But until then,
keep it up.